Welcome to Main Street Banking, a podcast for community bankers brought to you by the Barrett School of Banking, located in the heart of banking, blues, and barbecue, Memphis, Tennessee. My name is Byron Earnhardt. I am the program director here at Barrett, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to our corner of the banking world and hope that we can make your bank, your staff, and maybe even your day a better one.
Okay, we are back today with Jim Reber, the CEO of ICBA Securities, back for his Main Street Banking industry update. We had some news drop today in the economy, and Jim is back to tell us how this impacts that community banking industry that he's so devoted to and is so adept at in talking to. So, Jim, why don't you bring us up to speed on what's been going on the last 24 hours?
Okay. Well, thank you again, Byron, for this opportunity. And this is becoming sort of habit forming here to have us on, but there keeps being new territory that the bond market is going to. Of course, this morning we had the payroll data come out, and 20 million jobs were lost. That was sort of within the range of the predictions. The unemployment rate was actually surprisingly low, which was 14.7%. There are those that think that that number is possibly 5% understated. There was some noise in gathering the data. So what the immediate aftermath of that announcement said is was that perhaps next month we're going to have that number approach 20%. So it's uniformly bad, and it was sort of what was expected, so much so that the bond market is almost unchanged on the day. The yields are still dreadful. The two-year treasury, as we speak, is 11 basis points. The 10-year treasury is 65 basis points. So if you do the math, the difference in the twos and the tens is about 55 basis points, and that's relatively steep from recent history. So we'll see what goes in the near future for the bond market. But something else that happened yesterday, Byron, it's not in existence at the moment, is that the Fed Funds Futures contract actually went negative. Now, the Fed Funds Futures contract is important to bond market analysts because that is an indication of what investors think the Fed funds rate will be in the future. And this isn't a guess. This isn't a set of economists predicting. This isn't the Fed putting their guesses into the summary of economic projections, which they do quarterly. This is actually people betting money on actively traded contracts, the Chicago Board of Trade. I think that the December of 20 and the January of 21 contract, if I'm recalling right, went negative by a few basis points yesterday. Now, what that means is that the bond market expects interest rates to not go up one little bit for an extended period of time. In fact, the longest dated contract where there's any activity at this point is early 22, and it's still trading at very near zero. Now, what does that mean for a community bank? It doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot, because it's highly doubtful that the Fed is actually going to employ a negative interest rate scenario. And I'm saying that because that is something that Jay Powell actually addressed at his last press conference a couple of weeks ago. I think they expect that they, meaning the Fed now, expects they're not going to hike rates anytime soon. One of the Fed regional presidents, James Bullard, earlier this week said that it could be years before interest rates go up. But to employ a negative interest rate environment is something that the Fed really doesn't want to do. So what the bond watchers are, or the Fed watchers are expecting now, is that the Fed's going to talk the bond market into not expecting negative interest rates. Now, if for some reason rates did go negative, from just a supply demand standpoint and an expectations of no inflation for an extended period of time, that doesn't mean that the stuff that community banks buy and own are going to go negative. I cannot envision a scenario where a 30-year mortgage-backed security is going to have a negative interest rate. I can't envision a scenario where a 15-year AA-rated general obligation muni is going to have a negative interest rate. So the things that banks own probably have a lid on them in terms of how high rates are going to go in the near future, but there's probably also a floor under them from them ever going negative. So it has no real practical implication on what banks are going to charge for deposits, or rather charge for loans or pay for deposits. It's simply an indication that the bond market thinks there's going to be no inflation pressures going forward. And one last quantification of that is you hear sometimes in the business media about inflation break-even point. That's a number that's derived from this type of treasury security called a TIP. And a TIP is a treasury inflation protected security. It's a hedge against inflation. That is also a barometer of what the market thinks inflation will be doing in the future. Today, a 10-year TIP has a yield of 1%, which means that the bond market is expecting inflation over the next decade to average 1%. So not much out there in terms of expectations for much economic growth, but we don't see deflation. We don't see negative interest rates on the stuff that banks actually buy and own.
Well, Jim, I thank you for explaining that. I know that's one of the things when negative interest rates began to creep into the national conversation, my students, other bankers, people around my hometown were asking, what does negative interest rates mean? And I thank you for explaining that to the bankers, because sure. I know that was a huge question out there. When the Fed futures contract does that, that kind of brings it a little. We need to talk about that and get that education, that content out there for people.
And then for the record, that of course, those future those forward dated contracts today are no longer negative. So it was just a couple of hours where they did, but they did, and that was the first time in history that had happened. Now I gotta reserve the right to change my tune, Byron, in the future if some more things happen that we've never seen happen before. But that's the picture here in early May from the bond market.
Well, like we said when we first got too remote and we started talking about doing these podcasts, the schedule goes out the door when news hits. Jim's got the bat line ready to go. Hey, call, we need to get on this. And yes, sir, we're on it. Boom. So if you do need to change your tune, no judgment, and we will, we'll hop right on and get that ready for you. Jim, thank you for taking a little time out this morning to talk to us about that. Hopefully we'll have good news the next time, but regardless of it, we will, we'll talk to you next time some data comes out.
Always a pleasure, Byron. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, that's our episode for today. We hope you've enjoyed yourself and learned a little something. If you haven't already, please feel free to subscribe to our podcast and drop us a 5-star rating. You can follow us at Barrett Banking on Twitter or Barrett School of Banking on Facebook and LinkedIn. And we even have a new Community Banking Road Trip playlist on Spotify highlighting your favorite songs about your home state. Check that out and feel free to submit your favorite song about your state to add to the playlist. We have an ever-growing slate of classes, seminars, and webinars that are available, and not to mention our industry-recognized Graduate School of Banking every May, and we look forward to seeing you at any or all of our events. For more information, check out our website at barrett.ws. And from Memphis, the heart of banking, blues, and barbecue, we'll see y'all next time on Main Street Banking.